American aid rolls into Ukraine. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Those Abrams tanks that were promised back in January, well, they have finally arrived on Ukrainian soil.
Days after President Biden meeting with Ukraine's leader at the White House provided more weapons and military aid, as Fox's Alex Hogan also reports.
New strikes on Ukraine's southern city of Odessa. Ukraine's Air Force said that it destroyed 19 Iranian-made drones, 11 cruise missiles, and 2 hypersonic missiles launched toward the country overnight. Most of those attacks targeting Odessa. At the same time, Russia's air defense claims that it took down 4 Ukrainian drones.
Senate Democrats demand more U.S. aid to Ukraine be included in new government funding. House Republicans are not considering that as they bicker over their own plan ahead of a possible government shutdown next month. Congressman Carlos Jimenez tells Fox Business it
forces the Biden administration to secure the southern border.
And Fox News has just learned there were about 11,000 migrants encountered crossing the border illegally in the past 24 hours. Most in a day in recent memory. The Hollywood writers' strike appears to be over. The unions worked out a tentative deal.
The 3-year proposed contract reportedly has new rules regarding AI, a very contentious topic during the negotiations. It would also increase pay rates and residual payments for streaming shows.
Fox's Christina Coleman in L.A. says film and TV production will remain halted.
Now, while the writers have been on strike since May, the actors' union, SAG-AFTRA, joined in on the strike back in July.
7 weeks after a wildfire burned down much of the Hawaiian town of Lahaina, some residents and property owners will be allowed to go back on Maui and see the ruins. Fox's Kristen Goodwin reports.
Those returning will be given protective gear, including respirator masks, noting ash could contain lead or other toxins. The burned area split in zones. Governor Josh Green says it will likely take 3 months before Lahaina is fully cleared for reentry.
The fire is blamed for 97 deaths. America's listening to Fox News.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation delivers on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who risk their lives for our communities and our country. Heroes like United States Marine Corps Captain and Pilot John Jeremy Sachs. He sustained fatal injuries when his military aircraft crashed during training. Tunnel to Towers provided his wife and 2 daughters with a mortgage-free home. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org.
All right, this just in, Pure Talk just added more 5G data to every plan and is now including a mobile hotspot with no price increase at all whatsoever. Just $20 a month for unlimited talk, unlimited text, and now 50% more 5G data, plus you get mobile hotspot. Start saving today. Go to puretalk.com, enter the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, to make the switch to Pure Talk, and you do it now, you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com, promo code.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says some members of the GOP want to burn the place down instead of reaching an agreement to avoid a government shutdown. McCarthy and most conservative House Republicans remain at odds over legislation to fund the government beyond the September 30th deadline. A new study suggests a link between diet soda and autism. Researchers at the University of Texas Health Center found that pregnant moms who drank 1 can a day were more likely to give birth to a child who is on the spectrum. A little over 340 emergency calls have been answered by Yuma Fire in the last week. Yuma Fire reminds the community to never leave cooking unattended. 10 of the calls were due to cooking fires. Convicted murderer Alex Murdaugh has pleaded guilty. Murdaugh told the federal judge he wants to take responsibility for over 20 counts of financial fraud and money laundering involving millions of dollars in stolen client settlement money. The Writers Guild of America strike could be coming to an end. Writers and producers met face-to-face and are now near an agreement. That's the latest from the YumaDailyNews.com newsroom. I'm Kendra White.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Sam Brenton has been dubbed Sticky Fingers Sammy. Back in 1 minute with your politics question of the day.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer. And again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this?
low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
Sam Brenton, the former Deputy Assistant Secretary for Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition in the Department of Energy's Office of Nuclear Energy, has again made headlines for allegedly stealing women's luggage. Asiya Kamzin, a Tanzanian fashion designer based in Houston, Texas, says she discovered several social media posts of Brenton wearing her handmade designs following the disappearance of her luggage from a D.C. airport. After seeing Brenton and her designs, Kamzin reported the theft to the police, who turned the information over to the FBI. Question: do you think Brenton is guilty or innocent?
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome to another edition of Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner. I'm in studio here with Adam Hanson and Cody Beeson. We are attorneys with the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson. We do estate planning. In fact, we've done over 10,000 estate plans for the members of the Yuma community, as well as those who visit during the wintertime from the colder climates. And so we focus on planning that works nationwide. However, on this show, we talk about something a little bit more exciting than just disability and dying. We talk about politics, which we are wholly unqualified to do so, but we do it anyway. And we have a little bit of fun doing it. And this morning, I want to talk about the concept or what you feel, just your perception of control is in the circumstances that you face on everyday life. So, Adam, Cody, let's go around the table. How do you feel about your ability to control your circumstances?
I feel like, personally, I feel like I can control my circumstances to a certain extent until I run into government interference that limits that to a certain ability. What I mean by that is licensing and things like that that didn't always be in place, right, over the course of time. And over the course of time, our government, whether that's on the state level or the federal level, have implemented regulations and licensing requirements, which you could see as detrimental to the growth of a business or commerce. Personally, I believe that the system, when I say system, the legal system has a way of fleshing out bad actors. If I were a company and I'm creating a product that you're using and that product hurts you, you have a remedy, and that is through a court process of suing me and then going for damages. And you can't send a company to the electric chair because it's a entity, but you can penalize it monetarily, which is essentially doing the same thing as killing it with the electric chair. And that has been done in the past.
Yeah, that's a really interesting segue, and I don't want to get too far off on this question, but so when I ask a question in your circumstances, it seems like you immediately assumed your financial and legal circumstances.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Is that not what you meant?
Well, it was an open-ended question. I wanted to see where you'd go with it. So, Cody, what about you? What do you think about your circumstances? Are you able to control your circumstances and what happens in your life?
I think so in some degree, and I think part of life is figuring out how to do that and live a happy life that you can call your own shots. But when it's so interesting you brought this subject up, because I'm currently like dealing with something with government in the sense that, long story short, we're replacing a leach line on a septic system. And that being said, you know there's a permit involved?
Yeah.
On this whole thing.
Actually do, because I'm doing the same thing.
But the thing is, it's already been there.
Oh,
like,
okay.
So we're paying the government for something on our land that really they have no other jurisdiction over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just this weird thing that you have to ask yourself, does government, how far in our lives do they belong?
Okay.
When you do something privately on your own land that does not touch them.
Okay.
Yeah, they still belong in there, I guess.
So we talked about the government intervention. We talked about how we can move forward with legal issues and maybe even financial issues. I think that, Adam, you alluded to the fact that you have a little bit of control over your financial issues to the extent that the government doesn't interfere. What about other things, like bigger things, your relationships, your health, and things like that?
Health did come up, you know, once you posed the question or you retorted. The other thing that came to mind was health. Do you really have control of your health? You do to a certain extent, but you can't control certain aspects. You might have a debilitating disease, or you might contract something, and you can't necessarily control all those circumstances. You can do the best that you can. You know, the government can impose things like face masks and other mandates like that. Is that going to ultimately keep you healthy? No, probably not. It just comes down to that individual's choice of washing their hands correctly or exercising on a daily basis, making sure their body is fit, you know, and you can run a mile or you can walk a mile or something without getting, huffing and puffing. But that doesn't mean that just because you're a runner and you run a marathon that you don't collapse from a heart attack. You know, things happen. So you can control things to a certain extent, but not all the way. Is the way I'd answer that question.
What do you think, Cody?
What was the question?
So, generally, in purposes of health and well-being,
yes.
How much control do you have over your circumstances?
I like to think all of it, right? But we know we don't. If you want to still operate in our society, for example, like I have a friend, he had 19 years on at the San Diego Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
He wants his retirement, so he was forced to take the vaccine. Now, he didn't really have control over his own health at that point. I mean, you do if you don't want your pension. But at a certain point, you have so much built up, you're in a corner. So I'd like to think we do have our own, ability to make our decisions. But to some degree, that's been removed from us, if you want to operate in their world.
You know, it's interesting. And I think it's because we both, or all three of us, focus so much on how government intervenes in our lives on a daily basis, that it's been alluded to how much control do we have on the decisions that we make about our health. But really, I'm asking the broader question, and I just wanted to see where you'd go with it, about our health in general. For example, Steve Jobs, right?
Yeah.
Steve Jobs had all the money in the world, had potential to earn much more, multiples more of the massive amount of wealth that he accumulated in his short life. He died at 56. So with all that wealth and plus all the connections that he had, and he had a fantastic mind, and of course he developed computers and things that aimed to solve problems, he couldn't solve the problem of his own health. And so although he could make decisions regarding day-to-day health, he could run, he could eat well, he could do whatever, ultimately, the stars aligned or misaligned, however you want to look at it, and then he passed away at 56.
My understanding was, I don't know the whole history there, but I was under the impression that he was given medical counsel, mm-hmm. and he didn't take it.
Okay.
For pancreatic cancer?
Yeah, there are things you can do, chemotherapies and things like that. And he refused to do that.
Yeah, but
he tried to do some other stuff.
Pancreatic cancer is one of the most deadly forms of cancer. And so he may have weighed the pros and cons of extending his life a few months or years in an hospital, or living it out more fully in society and just letting, trying to get the most out of life while he could. I don't know. I'm just assuming that. I've known several people in that situation. In fact, we're in that business. We see people make those decisions every day where they get diagnosed with cancer. In fact, a diagnosis of a terminal illness is often a reason that people come into us and discuss their estate planning. So I bring this up because I was diagnosed with a rare disease back 12 years ago. And it's called Peyer-Romberg syndrome, and it's a disease where it causes the wasting away generally of one side of your face. And so I looked it up, and it's incurable, and there's actually no method for treating it. It's this neurological disease where your nerves they die away. And then as a result, the facial tissue atrophies until it becomes skeletal. And there's a whole bunch of degrees of severity. So that was something that I was facing. And it's just rare disease. Nobody knows what causes it. And nobody knows how to treat it. I went out very proactively and I sought medical intervention and I got surgeries. I had about 10 surgeries in the course of 6 years to have facial reconstruction, and due to the miracle of modern medicine, I'm able to move that side of my face still and look somewhat normal. And the first thing that came to mind is attending my kids' games and being that parent that stood out that, oh, your dad's the one that looks like, you know, the guy that got his face burnt off. And so the remedy that a lot of the doctors were suggesting was to go to support groups, other people that have faced this illness and dealt with the social stigma that goes along with having your face look very awkward. And that just made me more depressed. So I actually went proactively to people that were pioneering methods in this type of disease and trying new things. I figure I'm going to go down swinging on this one. And it worked out really well in my case. So compare and contrast that. I was attending my daughter's volleyball game, and she has been playing volleyball for 3 years now, and she's really good. Of course, I'm biased, but she's really good. And I would say she's easily top five in her team, and I don't think that's exaggerated at all. Now, there's a six-player, you know, round up on the floor when they're playing, and she never gets to serve. Like, they rotate her out every single time. And it really bothers me. And it shouldn't, because it's the coach's decision. Coaches see things that I don't see. I'm not really experienced in the techniques of, you know, volleyball, you know, how they line them up and the structure. But I know that she serves well. I see her at practice. I practice with her. She serves fantastic. When she did serve, she was serving at a rate of 90%. And so she was getting them in. And I was thinking of all the scenarios, and it keeps me up at night. What could I do to influence? And I've tried to talk to the coach, and it just kind of hit a brick wall. And I've talked to my daughter, and it just depresses her because she knows that she's not getting put in. And I said, can you talk to your coach? Can you do this? Can you do that? And she's like, Dad, I'm trying. You don't think I want to serve? And so I think of all the things of what I could do to influence that. And the conclusion that I've come to each night, generally, you know, 11, 12 o'clock when I'm laying in bed, is nothing. I really don't have any control over this circumstance. I can yell and scream and make myself a big jackass, you know, either on the stands or on social media or text or even in the coach's face, but I'm really probably not going to make a whole bunch of difference. And I'm a person that I'm somewhat educated. You know, I've got a law degree. I've got a successful law business, but I really don't have any control. And if I don't have control over the playing time that my daughter on JV volleyball has, what control do I have in life in general, especially when it comes to other things, other outside circumstances like Peyer-Romberg? I understand, Adam, you went through something similar with your daughter, not in a sports sense, but with your daughter having dilemmas at school.
Yeah, I mean, this happens to all of us. I'm sure your kids, well, maybe not. Maybe not, but
most kids, I think.
One of my daughters was being bullied this past week in one of her classes, and it got to the point where she was crying about it after that class. And so when my wife went to go pick them up from school and she was in tears, she explained the situation that she was, you know, the other girls were making fun of her and saying, mean things to her. Like,
so is it something awkward that your daughter does, or what caused them? What do they say? What do they do to your daughter?
My understanding was that she was recently moved into this math class, and she was put at a table with six other kids. Three of those kids are girls that are in are friends, and those girls, there was free time at the end of class, and so they were just pointing out kids around the class about who, you know, who was basically their friend or wasn't their friend, or they didn't like them for some reason. And so they got to their table and they said, my daughter, oh, she's a pig. And
so
you should just kill yourself.
Pointed at your daughter within her earshot and called her a pig.
Yeah. And so I asked, well, why would they, you know, she doesn't even know who these girls are. She just got in that class.
Your daughter's gorgeous, by the way.
And she just said, well, I think it's because last Friday they talk a lot, and it's kind of annoying, you know, because they're talking all the time and it's really disruptive when I'm trying to do my work. And so she said she asked them to be quiet last Friday while she was working. And she's like, I think that's probably why. But other than that, she doesn't interact with them, is what she says. So anyway, she tells this story to my wife, and my wife went a little mama bear, and that's okay. But she called me right after this experience because she was super worried. And she's like, I don't know, you know, if I did the right thing. So what she did was, after school, my kids went to the pickup area where my wife was to pick them up, and my daughter was crying. So she tells my wife what happened, and she's like, my wife says, well, who was it? You know, do we know this girl first and foremost, or these girls? And no, but there she is. She's right over there. She was getting an ice cream or something like that from the little ice cream
stand. This girl
that
calls your daughter a pig, standing in line for ice cream. That, there's a little irony there.
Right.
So anyway, the thing that set my wife off was not so much the pig comment. I mean, girls make mean comments all the time to each other. But it was you should just go kill yourself. That was a little too far.
Wait. You kind of brushed over that.
What?
Did you hear that, Cody, the first?
Slightly, yeah.
Okay. So she called her a pig. And then says what?
You should go kill yourself. Yeah. So that was the thing that set my wife off, you know.
Yeah.
People
I think just on an objective level, that's not okay.
So my wife got out of the car and she went over to the girl and she confronts her and she says, "Hey, what are you saying to my daughter?" You know, kind of thing. And she says that she didn't get upset. She didn't raise her voice. She didn't use foul language. She doesn't use foul language. And this girl got really defensive and started cussing and yelling back. And my wife's like, listen, you need to stand up for if somebody, she's like, I didn't say anything, and started using foul language and things like that. And she's like, okay, maybe it wasn't you, but your friend was saying it, or you said stuff and your friend said it. Anyway, she's just, you know, giving her a stern talking to like a parent should or would. And she didn't yell at her. She didn't do anything like that. There's a group of other older girls that overheard all this and like, oh, yelling at my wife. Oh, you shouldn't be don't talk to her like that. You shouldn't be talking, you know, yelling at my wife and like, you need to talk to the parents. And my wife's like, yeah, I'm going to talk to the parents, but you can't talk to people like that kind of thing, you know? And so anyway, the whole thing happens. And then by the end of it, this little girl was crying and my wife apologized and gave her a hug and that was it. And then another parent comes over and just to see, you know, what's going on. And my wife explained the situation a little bit, and they're like, okay, yep. And then everybody parts ways. And so my wife gets a call the next day by an officer because, you know, parents are involved now and called the school, want to know what's going on. First of all, it wasn't on school campus. It was off campus in the pickup area. And secondly, as I've heard all the stories and all this stuff, I'm like, putting it all together. And at first I was like, okay, maybe you did go a little overboard. But after hearing it all, I'm thinking, no, I think this was a good learning opportunity for everybody. And I don't think it's a bad thing for another parent to step in and intervene and let another kid know that is not okay to say and call them out for that. If nobody else is going to do it, then they're going to continue to do that. I would prefer that my daughter take care of the issue herself. I would much prefer that. And that's why I told my wife, I said, you don't need to be worried about anything. You gave her a hug, you apologized, and she'll probably never do that again, right? Hopefully. Or maybe she goes crazy and does it even more.
Yeah.
I would hope not.
Yeah,
but
uses your daughter as just like the example. No, even though she doesn't say anything mean, she could say, oh, she's the one that's going to tattletale because, you know, she can't take care of herself. She
yeah.
could. Hopefully she'll see the errors of her ways. And
I'm not the arbiter of truth on this. I mean, my perspective on a situation like this is let the kids handle it. And there's only two ways you can handle it. One is you fight. Let's fight it out. That's school rules. Like, the rules of the playground are, if you're going to come at me and be a bully to me, then the only way to address that issue is we're going to duke it out.
Mm-hmm.
Good old-fashioned duke it out. There is going to be a winner and a loser from that, and that gets the problem solved. And I wish that happened more. I really do, because that gets the problem solved. That's the first option. Second option is that you come back with, you know, a smart-witted retort, or you make a fool of that person that is trying to bully you. So those are two options that I would say is the remedy, but my daughter has to do that.
Or be silent, you know, and just take the punishment. I mean, so you're talking about...
That's an option, but not a real option for me. If you want the bullying to stop, you have to do something about it.
No, I understand, but kids...
Sock them in the face.
Kids, generally, when they face those circumstances, they can either lash out either verbally or physically, and address the issue head on and you know, confront the bully, or they can just kind of sulk down into the shadows and into the corner and try to put up this shell and just endure it.
Yeah, my perspective is, and like I said, I am not the arbiter of truth on this type of a matter, but what I've seen in my own life and being in those situations is, if you do not stand up for yourself, then it will continue to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not from that person, but you will be known as a weak individual that can be bullied.
Yeah.
Unless you stand up for you. But it has to come from that kid. That kid has to stand up for themselves, or else it'll continue to happen.
Yeah.
We got to go to break. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law, right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Big area of low pressure off the Pacific Northwest coast, sitting and spinning for the next couple of days. But eventually, as it makes its way inland, we're going to feel a drop in temperature, especially by Saturday. This is typical September. 102 today, 103 tomorrow, 103 the high Wednesday. Just slightly cooler Thursday, 100, 98 Friday. But then by Saturday, temperatures topping out around 90. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com. AMRadio.com.
It is critical we keep AM radio in all cars and all trucks. Hey, Sean Hannity here. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio. It is the backbone of the emergency alert system, and that keeps us safe in dangerous times, because when cell and internet services are down, AM radio might be your only lifeline. Now text AM to the number 52886. Tell Congress that we need AM radio in our cars. Text AM to 52886 today.
Standard message and data rates apply.
If you came across a child struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them?
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. We're talking about what control we have as humans, as individuals, over our circumstances. Of course, there's a lot of different directions we can go with this. What I was actually thinking about in general is what happens to us during our sojourn here on Earth, and what control do we have over it? For example, we could jump in the car. We could be obeying all the speed limits. We could be using our blinkers. Somebody could run the red light, smash into us, or a car could just malfunction, right? Our car could stop running and somebody rear-end us. I know a family that their car broke down on the side of the road. And so they're outside the car. They're waiting for some support. And I don't know if they were drunk or why, but another car slammed into them and changed the projection of this family's life forever. They were all very seriously injured. Some never totally recovered, and some had physical injuries. Others had traumatic brain injuries, and so they were unable to literally function in society and in the workforce for the rest of their lives. So that is something that is totally outside of our control, and I think we all, if we sit down and think about it, we understand that. However, as human beings, we want to control our circumstances. We want to be able to wake up in the morning and say, if I work out, I'm going to be healthy. I'm not going to get pancreatic cancer and die at 56. If I drive and I obey the speed limits, I'm going to be safe and get to my destination. My car's not going to break down and get slammed into and have traumatic brain injury. But the reality is circumstances are outside of our control all the time, and all we can control is how we react to them. And in fact, that's what I believe we're being – the whole purpose of us being here on Earth is to determine our reaction and how we address those tough situations that come up in everybody's life. And everybody is going to be different. Cody, I know that you've got your own life issues. I don't know what they are, and I'm not projecting on you.
Right.
But Adam, you've got your issues. I've got mine. And we want to be able to control them. And to a certain extent, we can control the likelihood of financial success by looking at the careers that produce that type of success and education and circumstances. But in the grand scheme of things, life is going to happen to us. And how we come out of this and how we're judged eventually, most of us out there believe in a life after death, that we aren't just here to exist right now, and when we die, that's it. We cease to exist whatsoever, that there is a supreme God out there. And we are going to be judged, and we are going to have eternal blessings or consequences depending on how we reacted to those consequences, not how well we were favored or potentially disfavored in life. And so bringing this all together, I was just browsing through the events that are concerning to people in the world, and what is the popular belief for the top threats to civilization here on Earth. And when I typed that in, the thing that came up by far the most was climate change. That was the existential threat that is going to extinguish life as we know it on this earth. And I was thinking about that because I've done a little bit of research on climate change, not nearly as much as some of the people that I follow, but I've done some research on it. And if the United States stopped burning coal, stopped burning natural gas, stopped burning oil, in the next 100 years, and we were at net zero for the next 100 years, we would be able to reduce the temperature by 1 degree, 1 to 2 degrees. That's not enough. And so, and that's the United States. And in doing so, the United States would have to give up its role as the economic leader of the world, and therefore would have very little to no say in the policies that go on in the world. And we are a vast minority as far as population in the world. So these other huge countries like India and China that don't adopt these same policies and would have a greater effect, their government and their organizations would have a bigger impact on the world. So overall, even if we gave up and said, hey, that's it, we're going to do everything we can to climate change, we're going to go back to how we lived in the mid-1800s, and we're going to plow our own fields, we're going to weave our own clothes, we're going to go without shoes, or we're going to hunt for animals, and because we can't have cattle, right, and because that's contributing to climate change, so we're going to hunt and try to put some leather stockings on our feet, then if we did all of that, then we're going to turn over the world policy to other actors who are unwilling to do that, and we're going to be in a worse off circumstance than we are now. And I'm like, that's not an option. That's not an option at all. Plus, it would require the cooperation of millions upon millions of people to do it. It can't just be a few politicians that do it, because, of course, the people are going to revolt if our lifestyle goes down dramatically, right? And we don't enjoy the luxuries that we have today. So what do we have control over, and what are some threats? I think of other things out there like nuclear threats. That was something that I grew up in the 80s thinking about, because we had this war, this Cold War with the Soviet Union at the time, and we thought, well, anybody could push the button and we'd be in this nuclear holocaust. And you think about that, the amount of people that have control over that circumstance right there. Again, it's not me and it's not you, it's not us that have control over it, but what are we thinking about and where are we putting our time and energy? How many people do you think could make the decision that would put us into a nuclear war?
A handful. I mean, we've been talking about it with Ukraine and Russia. It's a possibility, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if we're just off the top of our head, is it more than a dozen?
I don't think so. I mean, it depends on the – if you're talking about communist countries involved in there.
I'm talking about the world.
China, Russia, Venezuela, Cuba.
If Putin says, listen, I want to go out with a bang, everybody knows that Putin is dealing with some health issues. And if he decides that his legacy wants to be to try to show this force and demonstrate how powerful Russia can be and use all the force that he has to bring his country back into the prominence that he believes it should be, and that's the right way to do it, I think he could create a nuclear war. I think single-handedly Putin could do it. Xi Jinping, could he do it?
100%, yeah.
Right? North Korea,
yeah.
Kim Jong-il, could he do it? So we've named three people right there. Joe Biden, or the puppet masters of Joe Biden, could they do it? I don't know how many puppet masters there are, so that number's hard to nail down. But could they do it? Yes is the answer, right? He technically has the codes, the nuclear codes, to launch it. So we're worried about this. And are we talking enough about the circumstances that are pushing us closer and closer to this potential nuclear holocaust? That would – we know for a fact how many lives that can take in an instant, because we've seen it. We've seen it on a very small scale on today's meters, right, with Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We have bombs that are thousands of times more powerful than that. And not only do we have them, but we have them in multiples of hundreds and thousands, and we have them strategic, and we have them tactical, and we have them where they can blow up above the atmosphere, where it cancels out all electronics, and so now your banking system has collapsed. If your banking system collapses, then your food and all trade collapses, and that's a big, big deal. But it seems to be that when I drive my SUV and fill it up, that's when I'm actually contributing to the downfall of civilization here on Earth. And I think we've got our priorities backwards. And that's what I'm trying to point out today, that number one, we can't control a lot of circumstances that happen to us, but those circumstances that we can, for example, how much effort we put into school, how kind we are to our neighbors, whether or not we're going to stand up to a bully, that we can control, and we can also control, you know, whether or not we support a war, a proxy war between the United States and Russia via Ukraine that is pushing us closer and closer to this nuclear holocaust. And why is that not the reason people are lining up across freeways and highways to say, stop this war, stop pushing us closer to a nuclear holocaust, instead of stop burning fossil fuels and stop enjoying the lifestyle that you have and stop the progression of the decline in climate-related deaths? Because we know of all the things that are related to climate, the amount of deaths that are related to climate events have declined by 98% in the past 100 to 120 years. 98%. That's a statistic. Every other statistic out there about how much CO2 is contributing to global warming and how much it's actually going to decrease the livability of the Earth in the next 50 to 100 years, those are all theories. We know for a fact that certain things will result in death and destruction, but we're not doing anything to those actual facts. So we got to take a break here. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about what we can do to actually make our lives happier and the lives around us better and plan for our future, because that's what we do. We do estate planning, but let's plan for society.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
World War II.
Korea.
Vietnam.
Iraq.
Afghanistan.
Since 1914, the Veterans of Foreign Wars has united Americans from all walks of life with one common purpose: to improve the lives of combat veterans, service members, and their families. VFW programs foster camaraderie among United States veterans of overseas conflicts, serve our veterans, the military, and our communities, and we advocate on behalf of all veterans, including submariners. VFW brings services, vital information, and critical assistance to those who need help right now. It doesn't matter how old you are, where you served, or when you served. You belong here. Our VFW Post 8242 members support one another by meeting at weekly events and activities throughout the year. Need help filling out VA paperwork? We've got you covered. You may even find a mentor to help you navigate through your next stage of life. Come talk, play bingo, karaoke, enjoy a beverage, or just sit in silence. We won't judge. VFW Post 8242 on Highway 95 next to the Big Tank. Yes, you belong here.
Listen to 560 KBLU every Friday morning from 8 to 9 for Money Talk. Money Talk, bringing you the latest information and changes in the world of finances, brought to you by the partnerships of Academy Mortgage and Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. That's Money Talk every Friday morning from 8 to 9 on 560 KBLU.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. We are talking about our circumstances and how much control we have over our circumstances and whether it is the control over our circumstances that we're really aiming to achieve or how we react to our circumstances that occur to us, things, events in life that occur. Adam?
In the last segment, you brought up the social contagion of climate change, this climate change religion. And your argument is that, and we've heard this before, and we've actually advocated for this argument, even if the U.S. were not to, or the, even if the U.S. were to implement all of these far-reaching Green New Deal things that are proposed, it will not have an effect on the world as a whole when it comes to climate initiatives. Is that what I hear you to say?
Yeah, absolutely. If UK,
so why do it?
And the United States both agreed to stop burning all fossil fuels. It's generally confirmed, and this is based on all the climate models that are put out by the UN. We would reduce the total anticipated increase in temperature by between 1 and 2 degrees, and we would not have an impact. It would be between a 20% and 22% impact overall on climate change, and that's not enough.
So what came to mind was a conversation you and I have had in the past about the Revolutionary War and the effects that that had on slavery across the world.
Yes.
It's very well known that even in the United States, there were slaves fighting in the Revolutionary War, right? At the end of that, and everybody parted ways, England went back to England, and the U.S. continued on. Lafayette from France went back to France. He constantly advocated to General Washington the idea of abolishing slavery. What was Washington's response to that?
He said that the society at the time was not in a position that they would accept that. That if he were to implement that, that the individuals that were in his custody, that were under his control and under his stewardship, would be worse off because society was not ready to receive them generally as productive members of the society. And so that was his argument, that he agreed with the concept, but that the circumstances in which they lived in at the time were not those that would allow that to occur and be successful. And Lafayette disagreed and tried to implement it and actually demonstrated that that was true, because he actually freed his slaves, and he actually made a colony for them and gave them ownership over property and allowed them to produce on their own. And on a very micro level, it was successful. But overall, the government, including Napoleon, they reappropriated those slaves and took over his property, and the institution continued.
Why was Lafayette so adamant that Washington implement this in the U.S., or Franklin? You know, he tried to convince Ben Franklin as well.
Well, Franklin didn't own slaves, but it was Thomas Jefferson. Sorry.
Yeah, Jefferson, Franklin, all those founders. Lafayette was advocating for this idea.
Yes, he was.
Why? What was he so? He went back to France for a while, and he tried to implement this. Why did he care if the people of America abolished slavery?
Well, he was an idealist, and frankly, I agree with his ideals. He was ahead of his time, and I wish that the society was ready for it. I wish society would have transformed the way that he did, because he saw things not from how they are, but how they should be. And he implemented and he lived his life on how they should be. And if more of us did that, then we could create a better society quicker. But there are those who understand that some social norms take time to be implemented. So what Washington and Jefferson and Franklin and all those founding fathers did is they created a constitution that allowed for the eventual abolition of slavery without destroying the country. Because what happened in France was Lafayette actually lost all political power because he refused to align with the political norms of the day. And so then he was an outcast, and he lost all political power, where he is truly the hero of two worlds, where he instituted or assisted in the institution of free democratic government here in the United States, tried to do the same in France, but he refused alliances with the powers that be and then became an outcast and spent a lot of time, I believe it was in a Hungarian prison.
My question, though, is why did he advocate to Washington so hard to do this? What did he see in Washington that would make a difference anywhere?
Well, he knew that Washington was a moral and humanistic individual. He saw humans and individuals as having God-given rights that were endowed upon them that should be honored.
Was slavery happening other places other than France and
everywhere in the world?
United States?
Slavery was an institution that has been around since human history has been around, and it's been happening and had been happening everywhere in the world. And so Washington was making a huge point to the world that a democratic republic, and it's honestly a constitutional republic, could succeed, that a government that was run by the people could actually succeed instead of a monarchy, which had been the norm for the past couple thousand years. And so he was focusing on that change, and he lit the fire for the rest of the world for that change. But the other, he felt that it would be too much, and it would probably diminish his ability to present the power that he was trying to do for the people to institute their own form of government.
So using history as a model here, we had this social issue that was presented. The social issue of, was slavery a correct thing? Were some humans naturally born higher than others in status? And it was an idea, a social idea that Lafayette presented as, that's not right, we need to alter that in history. And what I hear Washington counter that with was, you're right, but there is no, we cannot do this on a world scale. We're not going to be able to do it. It's not the time for this. So you take that social historical reference and you now put that model onto climate change, which is another social movement. This is the counter argument to what you're saying. Well, India, South America, China, it doesn't matter what the U.S. or what England does in the climate realm with climate change, because it's really not going to have an effect or bring these models within the metrics that they need to be in order to satisfy these climate change individuals. So don't do it at all. So if you use Lafayette's reasoning here, is America is a beacon of light for the rest of the world. And if we do it and implement these things here, it'll have a social effect across the whole world, I think, is a counter argument to what you're talking about. So is that true, or is that not the case?
So yeah, if we implemented right now the policies of climate change that all of the Green New Deal wants to implement, what we will do is we will give up our seat of power. We will do what Lafayette did in France. Lafayette ultimately did not change the government in France. There were several revolutions and counter-revolutions, but Lafayette, although he was an actor in it, he became less and less influential until ultimately he barely survived being exiled and held in a Hungarian prison.
So if this time is not right for the U.S. to engage in something like that, dramatic Green New Deal changes, when is the right time?
Well, I think, number one, everybody needs to advocate for their own personal beliefs and moral standards. And if climate is your belief and your moral standard, which really translates into your religion, and I believe that religion had to do a lot with slavery too. You know, Uncle Tom's Cabin, you read that book and try to separate religious beliefs from abolition, and good luck. If you do, you're really lying to yourself, because it had everything to do with true Christianity and treating fellow men as our equal. And so I think that climate activists ought to act specifically what they believe. And that's the hypocrisy in all of this. Because, for example, it's as if a slave owner is going out there and saying, everybody else out there needs not to own slaves, but I need to own slaves because I'm important, I'm rich and wealthy or politically successful, and slaves make my lifestyle necessary for me to implement the policies that I have, which are on this higher level than typical standards out there. And so I need to have slaves, but the rest of you need to free your slaves. We'd all look at that individual and say, you're a hypocrite, right? If you really believe in the abolition of slavery, free your slaves. And many people did that. And you know, obviously, Abraham Lincoln, who is one of the greatest heroes for abolition. He never owned slaves, and he fought against slavery. But you look at these climate activists, how many of them don't use fossil fuels? How many of them live on farms where they generate their own food without the assistance of energy, right? Or they don't go to grocery stores and have any purchase the food that is generated by tractors that are powered by diesel fuel. Even if it's organic food and even if it's vegan food, it's all generated by energy that is produced by fossil fuels. And so all of them are hypocrites. I haven't seen a single one, even you know, St. Greta, who is over there and saying, I'm not going to fly in a private jet to these big climate accords. She goes there in a sailboat. Well, what's that sailboat made out of, right? It's made out of fiberglass, and fiberglass is it's a petroleum product. It's a petroleum byproduct. You get rid of petroleum, and you're going, you know, paddle over there on a log carved out canoe that you've done yourself or a ship that you've cut down a bunch of trees to create, and you sail over there, and maybe I have a little bit more respect for your movement. Weave all your own clothes. Don't have any plastic buttons. Don't comb your hair with a plastic comb. And then, okay, maybe you're not as hypocritical as I think you are, but I think everybody out there that says that we need to stop fossil fuels now, they need to say it with their own voice, and they need to be naked or having woven their own clothes by their hands with materials that they've grown themselves, because otherwise they are contributing to the need of fossil fuels by relying on the energy resources and the byproducts of petroleum by the clothes they wear and where how they even got to the climate exchange in the first place.
We've got to go. This is Life, Death, and Law. We'll talk to you next week.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The sky is the limit. Back in 1 minute with your food chain question of the day.
You've been working hard, doing the right thing, and paying your taxes, and putting your hard-earned money in the Medicare piggy bank all your life. And now it's time to break the piggy bank and get something back. Medicare. If you didn't know it, Medicare is health insurance for people over 65, and you've paid for it with your tax dollars. Medicare plans now have more benefits than ever. That's good news, especially if you're like me and looking forward to paying as little as possible for good health insurance. Call and find out what Medicare plan is best for you. Save your time. It's valuable. We've already done the research for you. And in one quick phone call, you can learn how to get the best Medicare plan designed exactly for you. Hey, it's one of the most important decisions in your life. Let us help you through it. Here's our number. Call 65 Plus Medicare now at 855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. That's 855-301-5506.
Though rampant inflation is eating away at consumer spending power, food companies believe consumers will keep on spending. From Hershey's to Starbucks, companies are telling investors that consumers still have pricing power in their wallets. That means despite all the price increases of the past year, companies still have the ability to keep raising food prices higher and keep them up longer because consumers will still buy the food. Question: how long do you think it will take before a fast food burger costs $100? 1 year, three, or five?
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.